Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The American ideal of free speech is in tatters. Now, it's only free if you agree with the mainstream media. Freedom is in mortal danger even when we worship, as police knock on church doors like they did in Nazi Germany. Today, more reasons why we will not be silenced. A discussion with Erwin Lutzer about his crucial new book. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, along with Pastor Larry McCarthy, here is Pastor Lutzer.
Well, once again, welcome to Running to Win. We have a very special program for you today. I've written a new book, and discussing it with me is Larry McCarthy. Larry McCarthy is on the pastoral staff here at the Moody Church, responsible for compassion ministries, local outreach, and a number of other assignments as they are being given to him. Perhaps you're acquainted with Larry because he's been on our program before, and we welcome you again today, Larry.
Pastor, I'm delighted to be here as we discuss this new book, We Will Not Be Silenced, Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity. And today I'm really curious to see what you're going to say about this issue of freedom of speech.
You know, Larry, freedom of speech has always been a great hallmark of America. It's enshrined in the Constitution. And Rebecca and I lived in Skokie, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago, in 1977.
Sure.
Some neo-Nazis were going to come to that suburb because there were so many Jewish people who had gone through the Holocaust who were still living, and they wanted to incite some kind of violence. And the city of Skokie said, don't come, but the ACLU said no matter how offensive it was, they should be allowed to be there, and they were. Now, today is a different day. We're living in a day when freedom of speech is being censored. Now, last time we talked about cultural Marxism, and the idea of freedom of speech being censored is really based on Marxism. Here's what happened, Larry. You had a philosopher by the name of Marcuse. I remember him in the 60s. I mean, I didn't know much about him, haven't even read too much about him. But he was a very committed Marxist. And he said this. He said, as long as we have freedom of speech, the capitalists can win the argument. They are using their position of power to win the argument. He says, we will never have a Marxist state as long as we have freedom of speech. So he said that only oppressed people should have the right to speak. And if you go on and read his writings and you say, now, wait a moment, who are these people who have a right to speak? He said that it was the mature people. He was looking at himself and a number of others who were Marxists. We have the right to speak. The others do not, because we have to win this debate. Well, this has seeped into academia today. So what you have is professors who are saying that it's very important that only the oppressed have the opportunity to speak. If you're a capitalist, if you're somebody who is an oppressor, which oftentimes is a white person, then you shouldn't necessarily be allowed to speak. And in fact, I quote a contemporary writer who says, in effect, clearly we need a double standard so that if we are going to bring about the kind of cultural revolution that Marxism would insist upon, we cannot allow unfettered freedom of speech.
So you present this as a philosophical perspective as opposed to political, I think. So what's this philosophical basis for the turn?
Larry, that's an excellent question. People think to themselves that philosophers are people in an ivory tower somewhere, spinning out all these theories that nobody reads and dealing just with metaphysical issues that do not touch life. What they don't understand is philosophers sometimes shift the attention of an entire society in a different direction. I mean, you think, for example, Karl Marx. Think of the implications of him. And we're still not finished with him in these interviews because later on we're going to talk about Marxism and socialism and so forth. So what you have is you have university professors, you have teachers who have never, and students certainly, who've never heard of Marcuse. Mm-hmm. But it has seeped into the academic framework of many of our universities, and it is being taught. Hmm. So it is a philosophical issue, and then, of course, it becomes a political issue and all the other things, racial and whatever. But it actually is resting upon a Marxist foundation that there should not be such a thing as unfettered freedom of speech.
Why is this so important?
Well, the reason that this is so important is because you think of what's happening in our universities, where oftentimes you have a conservative speaker who is not allowed to give their point of view. As a matter of fact, they are sometimes disinvited if they were invited at all, or there's even been violence against people who hold a point of view that is not accepted by the norm of the university, the cultural stream. An issue that we are going to have to talk about. As a result of this, people are intimidated. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they don't want to even express their point of view. They self-censor themselves so that they aren't speaking their mind because they are fearful of what is going to happen. And it is amazing to me, Larry, that the university, which always prided itself in liberalism taught that we should hear all different points of view, is now oftentimes the institution that is so concerned about issues that they will not allow an alternate point of view. And if students hear something that they disagree with, they need to find a safe place, not because they have fears of themselves physically, but they need a place where they can nurse all of their wounds because of their unappreciated oppression. And so that's the kind of people oftentimes that have very important responsibilities at our universities.
Mm. In your book, you have an interesting defense of free speech from a Muslim writer.
Larry, I absolutely love this. All of us know the name of Rushdie. He wrote the book entitled The Satanic Verses. And for that, he received a fatwa. That means that he was destined to be killed if somebody found him. Now, that apparently has been lifted, but he still lives in an undisclosed location. But he gave one of the best defenses of free speech that I've ever read. I have it here in my hands. A fundamental decision needs to be made. Do we want to live in a free society or not? Democracy is not a tea party where people sit around making polite conversation. In democracies, people get extremely upset with each other. They argue vehemently against each other's positions. I have to keep reading. People have the fundamental right to take an argument to the point where somebody is offended by what they say. It's no trick to support the free speech of somebody you agree with or those to whose opinion you are indifferent. The defense of free speech begins at the point where people say something that you can't stand. If you can't defend their right to say it, then you don't believe in free speech. You only believe in free speech as long as it doesn't get up your nose. Isn't that great? I wish that every university would read that. Here's what happens. When students turn against a professor because they have said something that is too conservative or deemed racist, the university always publishes something that says, you know, we want to commend our students for eliciting a conversation that is needed about this, that, or the other thing. And we believe in free speech. And then it goes on to talk about why they really don't believe in free speech. So this is so critical. Larry, we're going to have to transition to another chapter. That other chapter is on the topic of propaganda. But first of all, I want to say this. I want to respond biblically to the free speech issue.
Good.
You think, for example, in the book of Acts, chapter 4, where Peter and the apostles were told, no longer preach in the name of Jesus. And they were threatened. We know that they were beaten and all the rest. And what did they say? They said, we cannot help but speak what we have seen and heard.
Yes.
What they were saying is, you can give us all the threats that you want, but we are going to speak. And the title of my book, by the way, is We Will Not Be Silenced. They said, we will continue to speak no matter what.
Yes.
And what an example they are to us. And we think, for example, of Martin Luther. You know that he happens to be one of my heroes. But here he is at the Diet of Worms, and he's asked to recant. He's been told that if he doesn't recant, he knows he's to be put to death.
Right.
Okay? And he stands up and says these words, which I've quoted many times, but I want to get them in right here. I will not and I cannot recant. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God. Amen. Now, the thing is, he was standing against 1,000 years of church history, 1,000 years of tradition. And yet there he stood. And I just cry out to the Church of Jesus Christ today. Mm-hmm. Let us not be intimidated. Let us stand firmly, but stand we will, and then we take the consequences. And I might add this, you look at 200 years of church history, centuries after centuries, the church did not have freedom of speech like we do in America. And they kept speaking, you know, and you take the consequences, and that's the way we need to respond.
Boy, what a call to action. Confront or compromise.
From my heart to yours today, thank you to all those who have listened. We're so grateful for all those who support the ministry of Running to Win. And always remember, our intention is to help people to make it across the finish line.
Next time on Running to Win,
are we as a church even advertising correctly? We are so afraid of being called unloving that oftentimes we can make compromises in the name of love. And people sometimes come and they see a very well-timed worship service, and then they have a talk from the preacher. But what they don't hear is, this is the Word of God.
Uh-oh.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up another interview segment with Larry McCarthy on Why We Will Not Be Silenced, a powerful new book for times like these. Next time, how propaganda is now being used just like it was in Nazi Germany. Pastor Lutzer's new book, We Will Not Be Silenced, will be sent as our gift to you as you support Running to Win at this crucial time with your gift of any amount. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Or write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.